If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to read along, or the reading is also there on the screen, and so I invite you to read along. Psalm 130 is a song of ascents. If you read some of the Bibles, there are a list of about 10 or 12 psalms that are psalms of ascent. And what that means is often people who were journeying to Jerusalem to worship at the temple would sing these songs as they were traveling, ascending up the mountain to the temple. And so they called these the songs of ascent. And there are some wonderful psalms of ascent. This is one of those, one of the kind of difficult ones, but there are others that are more joyful or more praising, and even in the trials. And sometimes when you ascend to the house of the Lord, when you come together to worship, it's not always going the way you'd want it to. And it was that way for them as well. Sometimes there were trials and struggles. And so the psalmist is crying out from the depths. And here's the song that they sang. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord, is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. My suspicion is that the writer of the psalm and the singer of the psalms would often find themselves in that anguish of soul, depths of despair. They're crying out from some of the trials or the heartaches or the dark times in their lives. And there's a need in those moments for getting ourselves right with God. And so the psalmist is in anguish from the depths, crying out. Out of the depths I cry to you. And sometimes along with the trials, there is this sense of
all of the things that we failed at, or all the things I should have done, or the sins that are there that are kind of hanging on. And maybe a fearful judgment of the enemy, or the things that will come. And the psalmist, we don't know all of the circumstances of the writer, but obviously they're struggling with some of the emotions that are difficult. And I think as I read this, the time of year that we're going through, and the depths that people are facing sometimes in this cold, dark season of the year. So perhaps maybe people around you are going through some of the depths at this season of the year. Perhaps some of the depths might be depression. Maybe the sense of all of these things coming down and what can I do? Or maybe a sense of self-condemnation, all the things that I should have done. Does the enemy of your soul ever remind you of how you blew it? Or how you should have done this, or how you ought to have done that, or if you had only done it this way instead of that way? And do you ever hear those little voices in your head say, boy, you sure messed that one up? And if you start listening to that voice, you hear again and again, over and over, and the mounting of accumulation of all of that. Does he remind you of your sin and your failures? And doesn't that just make the day, the depths, a little darker? And so the psalmist is crying out, out of the depths I cry, O Lord. For some, this season of the year, the cold And maybe just the things ahead may be a little bit threatening. The winter time is tough for folks, and some try to escape to Florida or warmer seasons, and God bless them, it's good that they can do that and enjoy that. And if you're listening from Florida, then send a little bit of that our way, would you please? We'd like to see the sunshine. But sometimes, you know, maybe that the buying of one of those big lights that kind of lights up your whole house and makes you feel like the sun's shining, or maybe it's things ahead. How are we going to survive this, or how are we going to get through that? And the news and the media, the COVID report every day just seems to add more onto the sense of threatening. And is there a fierce enemy around you? The thought was by now that COVID would be all over with, and it seems like it's just hanging on more and more, and more lockdowns and more keeping people isolated from one another and afraid to get out, and we understand that. And somehow, instead of working together, it's been frustrating to me that we shoot at one another, or we blame one another for this thing or that thing, instead of somehow working together and trying to say the enemy is not one another, but that virus or that other thing. And there's violence more than when I was a kid, more when I sent my kids off to school. There weren't doors locked, and there weren't threats of people shooting one another. And somehow within the last 10 to 15 years, it's changed so much, and that violence of things and the internet fraud and the fires and the floods, all kinds of things can make that sense of the fierce enemy around us. And we struggle with broken relationships with one another, with God. And I have to confess, as I look back on my life, there is a whole trail of broken relationships and people that once were friends, and maybe they're just far away, and maybe the distance is too great, but I know there are broken relationships and people who once were close friends that now are distant in other ways, and maybe people in previous churches or previous communities. There are all of us who deal with that. Those senses of failure, those broken things, those distances, those difficulties. And sometimes the broken relationship isn't with other people, but with God, because of the sins or the things that are going on. And sometimes our sins just build that wall of separation, making it harder to communicate. And so the fear of hurt or the fear of failing or doing more damage, we sometimes just back away, or we take our distance, and we maybe smile and wave at folks, but sometimes we just stay back a little bit, that social distancing that we've kind of come to put in place. It not only distances us physically, but sometimes emotionally as well. It happens with people, and do we social distance from God sometimes? Maybe we do. Have you had any dark days lately? It seems to be going around, and at this season of the year, I want to look at this psalm and see how the psalmist dealt with his dark days, and maybe give ourselves some ideas of how we might deal with our own. If you read that with me again, or look at the verses, blessed, it says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. There's a prayer of desperation almost, a prayer of agony, a prayer of just reaching out to God. I listened to Henry Nouwen, and he's one of my favorite artists, or authors, I should say, a Catholic priest who passed away some years ago, but one of those guys that I could just connect with God. He helps me to do that, and I've been listening to one of his teachings about prayer, and And you know, some of the scriptures say that we're to pray without ceasing. And that's kind of a difficult thing to do, because how do you pray without ceasing? Because you got to focus on other things. You've got a job to do, and you got things to take care of, and conversations and things happening. And how do you do that as you go around about your daily business? And his philosophy is, you don't pray without ceasing with your mind, but with your heart. The way that you really pray without ceasing is just to connect with God with your heart. And you don't have to do that in some complicated way. He says the best way to do that is simply rehearse and recite the phrase, "Lord, have mercy on me." And if you can go through your day as you do the blessings and the good things and the trials, but also the heartaches and the difficulties, if you can just pray in your heart, "Lord, have mercy," somehow that connects you with God in that sense of his presence. He knows what we're going through, and he understands. And so out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. And sometimes it might seem like God is not listening, isn't answering sometimes. That sense of being unheard, "Lord, hear me. Aren't you paying attention? Lord, hear my voice." And I want to say he does hear. He is a good God. He's a loving God. And he did hear what you said, and he does know your needs. Why does he seem silent? I don't know. Why does he allow the suffering and the pain or the violence, the injustice? Why the genocide or the Holocaust? I don't know. I can't answer those why questions. But I do believe that God sees a bigger picture, and he sees down at the end of the road, and he knows that sometimes the mountains and the struggles and the difficulties are what make us stronger and better and get us to the end of our road in the way that he wants. And so he is teaching us to trust even in the darkest of times and in the times when it's uncertain. And so we say, "Lord, have mercy," even in those times. "Lord, hear my voice." So cry out to God when those days are dark. A second thing he does is he pleads for mercy. He seeks forgiveness. He says, "Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could stand?" If that record book of my sin, if I stand before God and am accountable for those sins that are on my record, there is no way that I'll enter the kingdom of heaven. If I'm judged and held accountable for that, there is no one that can stand. The psalmist knew that. We know that. But he says, "Lord, let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." How long is your rap sheet? What all is there? I sometimes ask people, "Well, when you die, will you go to heaven?" And sometimes those who don't understand Jesus and his salvation will say, "Well, I've been a pretty good person. I never murdered anyone, at least not with a gun or in physical ways. But did we ever murder anyone with words or with our actions?" Well, maybe some ways we do things like that. The psalmist is feeling this heaviness of his sin. And sometimes when you're in that dark place, it seems like the sins and the struggles and the uncertainties just sort of mount up. And so he says, "Lord, if you keep a record of my sin, I have totally lost." But then he goes on. The next verse he says, "But with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness." With you there is forgiveness. And therefore you are to be feared. Or revered, as says in the New Revised Standard Version. When there is someone who is gracious enough to forgive you or to let go of that offense and to and to keep that relationship right, that builds a trust and a respect. And so when God forgives our sin, it doesn't mean we just go ahead and keep doing what we're doing and it doesn't matter to God. What it means is He loves us enough to forgive us. And so we're in a relationship. We're in a place where we can draw closer to Him. That barrier that was there is taken away, and now we can come closer instead of staying apart. If we can have that strong relationship with God, then fear or respect or whatever term you want to use for that sense of relationship, that gives us help for the dark days. When you go through a dark time, what do you need? Sometimes, what's the James Taylor song? You just call out my name and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. You need a friend. And we do. And God is offered to be our friend. We sing that old hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, and so He's there. And so that promise of redemption with you, there is forgiveness, therefore you're feared. Therefore you're respected. Therefore there's an ability to come into your presence. And then the psalmist, as he deals with his dark days, says, "I wait for the Lord." And so he waits. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope." I trust in what it says. I put my hope in what it says, and I wait. "My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning," more than watchmen wait for the morning. He says that twice. And maybe as they're traveling up to Jerusalem, they have been kind of camping along the way, and at nighttime, you know, the things might be scary. And so you look for the light. You look for the morning. Sometimes if you're an early riser, and even in the wintertime, you look out and it's dark, but then all of a sudden you begin to see that little red line at the horizon, and there's a sense that day is coming and things are happening. And the psalmist knows that there is a morning coming. The watchman, the person who stays awake at night, who is guarding the city or guarding the people, he's watching, but he's also anxious for the morning, because in the morning you can see and there's safety and there's people that are up and around and gathered. And so when it's dark, we often long for the morning or the sunrise. And in the cold, dark winter, we long for the warmth in the springtime. And I wonder how many of you are waiting in anticipation for things to come. I wonder how anybody buy seeds for your garden already? Maybe you're thinking about it anyway, going through the catalog. But that anticipation, that waiting for the morning, the new things to come. And so the psalmist says, "I wait," just like the watchman waits for the morning. I'm waiting in anticipation for what's going to come. And he's not trying to fix the problems, not trying to find some way out. He's just waiting, but he also waits knowing that the morning is going to come, that the light will appear, that the waiting and the watching has a beautiful result. And the morning, the sunrise is glorious. Sometimes even on a cloudy day, the colors and the horizon. And so the psalmist, he waits. He waits in anticipation. And then he puts his hope in God's promises. He says, "O Israel," and Israel, of course, is the people of God. "O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For in the Lord is unfailing love. And with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." He puts his hope in the Lord. Puts his hope in God's promises. And so in the long wait of the night, he is not just hoping that tomorrow is going to be a better day or that things might change. But he's put his hope in the Lord and the one who is over all. With the Lord, he says, is where the answer comes from. And how does the Lord answer? Well, he answers first with redemption of sin. He is a forgiving God, a gracious God, a loving God. And we see that not only in the New Testament as we hear and watch as Jesus dies for our sins, but even there in the Old Testament, the sacrifice and the ways that God used just to help forgive and give that redemption. The Lord promises unfailing love as well. His love never fails. The darkness may come and it may seem discouraging or depressing. The season of the year may be a difficult time for some, but God's love doesn't fail. God's promises of everlasting life, they don't end just because things have gotten difficult or darker. And so the trusting in God, that hoping in God for redemption of sin and for unfailing love and the hopes that are just about to be fulfilled, the hopes that things will change. Back in the fall, I received from my son Reed a whole box full of tulip bulbs, and I don't have any idea how many there were, over 100. So I planted them. I don't know, but I have hopes that there are going to be a few of those tulip bulbs that will bloom anyway, and I've already noticed some that got out of the ground that's starting to sprout. So there's hope in that kind of thing. And I have a similar kind of hope for what God is about to do in my life and in your life, because he's such a gracious and loving God. And yes, we go through dark days, but the hope is in a God who doesn't fail. Our hope is in a God whose love endures and goes on and on. Our hope is in that Savior who doesn't keep track of our sin. He doesn't say, okay, well, let me get out the book here. And so you did this wrong and you messed that up and you didn't do that right. And boy, you really screwed that one up. And there's so many things. The list could just go on and on. But he just says, no, as far as east is from the west, so does he remove our sins from us. And he says those don't matter anymore. When you come and you ask for forgiveness, he just clears the slate, wipes it clean, and says, okay, we're going to start over again. And so God, a God of love and grace, what do we do when the days are dark? We cry out to God. We say, out of the depths, I cry, O Lord, or maybe just, Lord, have mercy. And then we wait, and we wait not just, okay, but we wait with anticipation and hope, with that assurance that God is about to do new things. And then we put our hope in the God who does them, the one who will deliver, the one who is creator and redeemer and savior, who can turn the darkness into light and bring about the dawn and the springtime. And so today, as we're here, I'd just like to close with a prayer. And if you are one of those, or if you're listening at home, and maybe you're going through a dark time, maybe it's just been difficult because of a health concern, or maybe a loss of a loved one, or maybe it's the trial that you've been struggling with because of its length or its endurance, or maybe somehow you are just trying to encourage others and that's sort of gotten you down. I just want to offer a prayer as we close for you and for those who are struggling with a dark day. Let's pray together. Lord, I know in this room, and especially in our city and in our nation, there are lots of people who struggle with the darkness. Lord, the depression, perhaps, or maybe the failure, or maybe it's the illness. Maybe it's the news that comes on every day showing us how bad things can be. how awful life is. Maybe, Lord, it's just the chemical imbalance in our body. Or maybe we need more vitamin D, more sunshine, and I love to see the sunshine. Lord, we're gathered here in this place to worship you and honor you. And Lord, I just want to lift up, especially to you today, those who are struggling with a dark day or a dark time. And Lord, as they know those times are going on in their lives, Lord, just reach down your hand, send your Holy Spirit into their heart and their life to encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we cry out to you, have mercy. And Lord, we know that if we were to be accountable for all our sins, we'd be lost. But with you, there is unfailing love and redemption. Thank you for that. And Lord, may those who are struggling with their dark day know that with you, there is forgiveness. There is full redemption. Their sins are washed away and the night is turned to day. Lord, thank you for that promise of a relationship with you. Thank you that you're our friend. Lord, I pray that you will give hope and strength. Lord, some are maybe dealing with cancer and chemotherapy. Some are maybe worried about the loved one that's going through that difficult thing. Maybe there's a surgery ahead, or maybe it's just a tough time. God, we wait for you. Like the watchman waits for the morning, we know that the morning will come. We know that the season will change. And so, Lord, help us to wait with that hope, with that anticipation, with that assurance that you are about to do a new thing and a good thing. And so we love you, Lord. Hear our prayers, Lord. Lift up and encourage and bless those who are struggling today, and just help them to know, Lord, that you are at work. You see the end of the road. You know what lies ahead. You see the bigger picture. And so use these times, Lord, just to make us better, to make us more like you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we can worship and honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.